Hi, my name is Ashley Nicole Hall, otherwise known as Fit Mom Ashley. Welcome to my podcast where I talk about real life as a wife and a mom of five, almost six kids. I'm a fitness and nutrition enthusiast. I have lived with chronic pain and conquered it. I have been a massage therapist and I love helping people. People are always asking me how I do it. So here I am, finally letting you all in on my secrets. How I went from totally type A to learning how to chill, and how I went from my plan to God's plan for me. Today, I thought I would bring you the experience that really set the stage for who I have become as a wife and mom. Let me start off by saying that I didn't become the person I am today without great trial. I guess a better way to say that is without great adversity. There is a reason that I'm so convicted to being the best mom I can be, to being balanced, to being there for my children, to being as healthy as I can possibly be. I think the experience I'm about to share with you is the experience that if I could pinpoint who I am today and what drives me to one thing, it would be the moment at which I looked in my mother's eyes during this experience. Seeing what years of neglect and a lack of health can do to a person, a lack of balance. So first, let me start off by saying that I was raised in such a good home. My parents had their issues, of course. They admitted they weren't perfect enough, that enough times that I learned it was okay to fail and make mistakes. What I also knew and was taught was what to do when I did make a mistake, depending on the magnitude of them. I had to respond accordingly. At least that's what I was taught. You know, accountability. Even as a teenager, I could be open about things I did, good or bad. I was a pretty good kid, always attracted to keeping the commandments, you know, the ones from the Bible, those 10 things that we're supposed to follow. I was attracted to serving others, growing to be a better person, trying to connect with Christ, you know, staying on the straight and narrow path. My parents did give me a lot of freedom to choose. I mean, I just had to tell them where I was going and who I was going to be with. And for the most part, I could stay out till 2 a.m. if I cleared it with them first. They liked me to be home by midnight, but, you know, like all good parents, they taught me accountability. I'm not sure what happened exactly when I turned 19. It's still kind of a blur. What I do know is that sometime during the spring of my 19th year, well, 20th if you're technical, my mother tried to take her own life. Up to this point, she had struggled with a sudden hurdle in her marriage with my dad. Her oldest daughter had disowned her. We had taken in strangers. My dad was run down. The list goes on. My mom had somewhat checked out as a mom, leaving the care of my younger sisters to me and my dad whenever he made it home. She struggled with pain. And she had migraines and her back was hurting. She had undergone back surgery and neck surgery up to this point. And I think the medications that she had taken through those surgeries and healing really did have an effect on her. I will never forget that one night. I had come home from a babysitting job and a double shift at my massage school. I had a paper to write, but I was exhausted and couldn't even stay awake on that 5-minute drive home from the babysitting job to my house. It was nearly witching hour, so I guess if you don't know what that means, it was close to midnight. My two little sisters were out of town and my parents were laughing in their room. I went and visited a bit. They seemed happy. They had just been on a long overdue date. I go upstairs, literally fall onto my pillow, but all of a sudden, I get up, wide awake, somehow at least, like someone gave me 1 ounce of energy and I couldn't sleep. So I started working on that paper. Minutes later, my mom comes storming upstairs with what looked like all of the contents of her side table, including all of her pill bottles. I didn't really think much of it. She took so many different pills, I assumed she was moving into the guest room. And that's when I heard the door lock. Now, the computer I was at sat against the wall in our upstairs family room, so I had to look to my right to watch her come up and turn down the hall. She seemed angry. I asked her what happened, and she refused to answer. She needed space, I guessed. So I continued my paper. I kept hearing her mess with her meds. I assumed she was arranging them on the nightstand. But the fact that I heard the door lock just didn't sit right with me. So something compels me to get up. So I did. I go to the door. I ask if she's okay. I turn the knob, but it's locked. I ask her to open the door. She's still messing with pill bottles. She mutters that she loves me, that we don't need her. We'd be better off without her. Mom, open the door, I yelled. The reply, no, it's better this way. What do you mean better? What way? I don't understand. Open the freaking door. Absolute silence. I run down to find my dad. I recount as much as I can quickly to enlist his help breaking through the doorknob. All he needed was a stupid screwdriver. That's the only reason I had even come to tell him. The following is a blur. And we get the door open somehow. My dad shouts at her not to take those pills. He shoves them off the bed. It's too late. She's alive, but she swallowed whatever was left of her hydrocodone. My dad pins her so she can't shove the next mouthful in her mouth. Scrambles the pills and bottles away, and I hold her down so she can't take more. Basically, we switch places. I looked down at my mom. I looked in her eyes, tears falling down my cheeks. Her soul was gone in that moment. Just a shell of the woman who carried me in her womb. Where are you, mommy? I continue holding her down as my dad dials 911, and we wait. I am sure I am watching my mother die right in front of me. I'm so panicked. Why didn't I follow her right away? How long does an overdose take to kill someone? Why was she leaving me? Why wasn't I enough for her to want to stay? What did I do wrong? Please, God, don't let her die. Please keep her alive. These are all the thoughts screaming around in my head. My head is spinning. All I can yell is, why the hell would you do this? Why? She looked at me with her soulless eyes, and all she said with a slight smirk on her face is, I don't know. What? I don't know, is all she could say. I searched and searched her lifeless eyes for my mom. Mom, please don't leave me, I begged for her to come back. Where was that stupid ambulance? How long do they take? I'm running out of time. Finally, they get there, and around 2 o'clock in the morning, they take her away. My dad followed in his car, telling me to stay behind and get some rest. And there I stand in the living room, completely alone. All the lights are on. Staring after my dad after he walked out that front door. I'm so lost. I'm scared, and I pray, and I pray. Then I turn away from the front door and sit down at my piano. All I can do is play the piano. I play until my eyes burn. I sing reverent songs about Christ, faith, and anything I would hear in church. For me, music makes my prayer stronger. I finally get a call from my dad. I learn that my mom will live, but then the bad news. She is being cleared of the painkillers, and as soon as that is over, she's going straight to the psych ward. No visitors, none, and we don't even know for how long. I can't even talk to my mom. I can't even see her face. I get off the phone and I'm speechless. My mother is broken. And all I keep thinking about is if I had walked in 2 minutes sooner, I could have stopped her. And we could all be together just figuring out how to reverse these suicidal thoughts. I didn't realize at the time she was safer there. I just heard psych ward and pictured visiting her months from now. I cried. I was bawling like a baby in that moment. All I wanted was to go back to all the moments I jumped on her bed and lay next to her while I told her about the latest boy I was interested in. And she played with my curly hair. She always knew how to stroke it just right. She would just sit and laugh and listen as my excitement grew in my stories. She was like my best friend. And in a moment, she snapped and she'd never be the same. It has been just over 10 years since this day. This story has a happy ending. Well, middle, I guess. Life never has been the same since that day, and my mom still struggles finding that happy person she used to be. The therapist explained to us that she had snapped her mind like a twig, and it would never be as strong. Learning what that meant was the hardest thing to learn. She would come back in these small moments and leave almost as quickly. The mother that raised me was gone. The lady that took her place, She betrayed me time and time again. She would pretend to give my mom back. Then in a flash, she'd desert me. She was totally broken. I felt awful and inconsiderate for being so angry for years. After all, she was the one living in the broken mind. She was the one that needed help. She was the one who had snapped under pressure. Life had gotten unbearable for my mother. Who was I to be angry? How could I even think I had a right? The journey to find peace, self-worth, empathy, love, and forgiveness was a long one. And I'm still kind of finding it. I did eventually come to a place where all I felt for her was sorrow and love for what she must be going through, trapped in her own mind, how hard it must have been through her eyes. I wish I could say that I just woke up one day with love in my heart for my mom. That definitely was not the case. I had to be broken. I had to be abused and brought to my knees in prayer before my heart changed. But I assure you, it finally did, or at least it is changing. 10 years later, I still miss my old mom, but my heart has grown a tremendous love for my new, mending mom. This experience was the first of many experiences that would ultimately teach me what Christ really died for. I wasn't ready for it then, but I would eventually learn how Christ heals the broken. He died not only for the sinner, he died for the broken. He died for the people at their lowest moments. I would eventually understand what it means to love as God loves. And I'm still learning that also. Even though I'm still learning this on deeper levels, I can say that the villain of this story, anger, will not prevail. Instead, love will always take over. It took me years to understand that my mom wasn't actually leaving me. She wasn't leaving my dad. She had just lost hope. She lost the will to live, and she was only leaving herself. No matter how many therapists told me this, only through Christ and his infinite atonement would this impress upon my heart and open it up to love her as God loves her. I think that's a win. There were many experiences that happened that year of my life following my mother's attempted suicide where I had let my guard down. I lost self-worth because at the time I thought I was worthless. I don't think we respect the consequences of those kinds of actions. I know the hell that somebody must be living in when they think about suicide because I've been there. I've never exactly attempted it to that degree, but I've prayed my life away. I think in those dark moments of mine were the times that I felt the closest to my mom. And I think that God blessed me with those experiences so that I could grow empathy for her. I'll share more of what has empowered me to being the person that I am today in other podcasts. But for now, thanks for listening. Thanks for understanding. And if you've been there, you're not alone. It's not easy being the loved one of somebody who takes their own life or attempts to take their own life. It's not easy to pick up the pieces. I know there were times when I'd rather be mourning her loss than mourning her struggling now. There were times I was so angry that I had it in the back of my head that the reason she was acting this way is because she'd rather be dead. And I couldn't make her want to live. Finding who I am as a person has been essential to my learning to love my mom, and has been essential as we've learned how to have a relationship at this point. I know she's there, and I know she's just hurting right now. I know she can't tell me how she feels as much as she wants to, and I know it's not about me. It took me a long time to stop taking her actions personally, but it had to happen. I had to stop. I had to start seeing her as an individual and start treating her as an individual, and not treating her actions as if they were a reflection of me and how she felt about me and a reflection of my self-worth. My self-worth is completely my own. Anyways, more on that later. I think the point and the moral of this story is that we all have a story. We all have something that has turned our lives, that has changed it. We all have an experience that if we really dig deep and look back, we can recognize was that big turning point in our lives. Whether or not that story was actually the turning point to who I am today. It's what sent me on the journey to find who I am and what drives me to be the mom that I want to be, the wife that I want to be, the person that I want to be. It drives me every day. If I could go back and look at her in her eyes one more time with the person that I am today, I would try to call her out. And I would not ask her, why are you leaving me? But why are you leaving you? Anyways, that's it for today.